Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me.
So to my question, you
did. This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. And it's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So it's the Whip Around.
I'm trying to do the Tales from the Crypt. Like,
I thought you were doing like,
yeah, that was it. That's what I'm doing. That's what I meant. Welcome to the Whip Around.
It's adorable.
He gets louder when you open his mouth.
So what? It looks like you know, like a tennis ball. If you cut like a tennis ball and you squeeze the sides.
That's true. And then it's like a musical note.
Yeah. You know, like, and what is that called again?
And I think it's an automaton. They come in blue, black, and white, I think.
Just like all the colors that balls could possibly be.
but don't think that's the end of the show. Can we dim the lights, please?
No, it may only go downhill from there, but it's definitely not the end of the show.
It's like the bass.
How'd you do that? Are there different modes?
Yep. And then you ready for the finale?
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Definitely welcome to the Whip Around on that. I am one of your hosts, Sean Hayes. The other guy there is Dave DiOrio. Say hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And this is an automaton, I think.
It's smiling at you.
So the only thing I can say that's going on with me this week besides Easter, which is fine, lots of deviled eggs because that's funny and delicious, is I got an automaton. Hello. And Dave, what's new with you this week?
Nothing. Just, you know, a reminder to everyone out there that Jesus Christ's last name is not Superstar. And I have returned from the Walt Disney World, following in Jill's footsteps.
All right. Well, now we're going to hear about that in a minute, correct? Like, should we?
I mean, overall, it was a fun trip. I mean, it was fraught with a little, you know, inconveniences.
Okay.
You give me a face. What's wrong?
Oh, no. You sound so good. All right. So can we have any highlights? Like, it was you and the kids and the wife, obviously, the whole.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had our seventh nor'easter on top of our sixth nor'easter.
Yeah, were you flying during that day?
No, well, we flew out the next morning, so we were kind of nervous that our flight was going to get delayed. But now we got out on time. We stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, so we had a cool room that had giraffes outside the window and everything.
Fake.
On the balcony. And
fake?
No, real.
Real giraffes out there.
There were the giraffes. They were the wildebeests. Is that what they are?
No, there's such a thing. Yeah, that's the in the Lion King, right?
Yeah, the ones that killed Simba or whatever.
And, no, they didn't kill Simba.
I'm sorry. And then there were some like
I love Disney movies.
Antelopes.
Okay.
Yeah, walking around.
You know, a giraffe can kick a lion's head off. Did you know that?
Off?
Yeah, man. It can actually. It's been known in nature that a giraffe's leg, those kicks are so powerful it can decapitate a lion. Not an April Fool's thing. Which, by the way, We're recording this on April Fool's, but Dave really was in Disney, and he really and the giraffe really could have kicked his head off.
Yeah.
That would be my funeral thing for you. I'd play this at your funeral.
Is there somewhere that I can document that to ensure that that happens?
Well, it's on the record now.
No,
okay.
There you go.
Can we talk a little bit? I mean, is there more? I mean, I want to, you know, what was your, okay, how about this? What was the highlight of the trip for you, Dave? Highlight of your Disney vacation?
The highlight of the trip was Epcot, actually.
City of the future.
Yeah, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
It's what Epcot really is, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Experience the golf ball buildings of tomorrow. Yeah, today.
There was the Flower and Garden Festival, and they had a lot of stands set up for food and drink around there. So it was a pleasurable experience. It was really crowded. For the week leading up to Easter. So, we kind of cut a lot of our plans and altered a lot of things to kind of compensate for the crowd, but we had a great time, touring the countries in the world showcase.
So your kids were fine rolling with that? They weren't like, I want to get on a ride,
They did a cool thing where they have an Easter egg hunt set up. So in each country, there's an Easter egg of a different character, and you kind of have a map, and you put the sticker of the corresponding kid. So they had fun with that.
Okay.
It was cool.
When I was there, it was just like, whatever, eat this.
Like, learn stuff.
This is what Spanish people eat for lunch.
Watch a video.
Eat it and watch and sit in the heat. What got the family going the most? Was it that? Was it the whole Easter egg hunt tour? The kids were pumped.
Yeah, they love doing that stuff. So they just like going places, eating stuff. We went on a few different rides there.
Okay,
it was fun.
And then are we gonna maybe we'll get a low light, or
oh you're gonna get a low light yeah coming the up. Low lights are coming.
Before we do, I wanna Dave, you can help me out here however you wish. I want to remind everybody we've got contests going right now. Based on the fact that Dave and I are here, just the two of us guys, and don't think that we didn't consider him. Sneaky geeky dads. But we've got one coming, and we don't want to oversaturate you. We don't want to over geek you. So don't think we forgot. But
I did a little sneaking and geeking in the Magic Kingdom there?
No, I wasn't even listening.
I saw what
you were posting about. Yeah,
switch.
Yeah. No, I did. Okay. Dave did represent the sneaky geeky brand very well.
People were definitely looking at me like, why is this dude on vacation and he's playing a Switch? Out overlooking the savannah.
Partially sneaky, definitely geeky if you were caught.
Oh, for sure.
They grow up so fast, we might as well play golf while it happens. Better if it's on the Switch. Anyhow, we've got contests going on that we're going to move through quickly and then get to some, a very special segment that I don't want to do too much yelling about yet. But first and foremost, please remember, everybody, that right now the Whip Arounds co-contest thing going on with the Sex and Violence podcast, the custom The Warriors movie poster, the thing is done. Tyler Martis, local artist, really talented guy, has completed these. We've got one to give away. So does Sex and Violence. You can win one through our show here on thewhiparound.com by going to iTunes and rating the Whip Around 5 stars, please. And then heading over to Sex and Violence on iTunes. It's Sex plus sign Violence. Rating them. Give them 5 stars, too. Rate both shows, and you are entered to win. We will be doing a drawing, Monday. Yeah, Monday, April 9th. So get those ratings in. Yes, if you already did that, if you've already rated both shows, you are already entered. And it is a very cool poster. I am jealous. I am jealous.
I agree. It's super cool.
That I do not have an opportunity to win because, that would be a little weird. So I don't even, whatever. I could win if I wanted to. But anyway, we also have Ward, who was gracious enough to come by and talk with Jill and myself last time. He came in, if you recall, and did 5 Bethlehem House Art Gallery trivia questions. If you missed them or didn't get a chance, go back and listen. 5 winners are going to come out of that. All you have to do is send in your answers to one or all of the questions. As long as you get one right that no one else got right before you, you will be winning a $25 gift card to the Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery on the main drag there in Bethlehem, very close to the Hotel Bethlehem. Check it out. And many eateries and drinkeries. But anyhow, get any of those questions right. If you did it first, you will win one of those cards. Also, bonus, you can send in an art-related question to Ward. He'll be answering it in 2 weeks when he's back here on the show. So, hey, get your questions in about art, the art world, running a gallery, being an artist. Why is everything melting in Dolly's paintings? What's up with that whole pointillism deal? Whatever. Send it on in. He'll answer it. If he answers it on air, you know you just want a pint glass. And you can put whatever in there. Art, beer. Don't put the poster in there if you won the poster, too. That would probably ruin the poster. But anyhow, that is going to be going until Sunday, April 15th at midnight. All right? So we got 5 winners are going to come out of that. And I don't know how many pint glasses he's given away. But, you know, send in some questions. Don't you want to know something? I know I do. Send the questions to thewhiparound@gmail.com or post them on our Facebook or our Twitter pages. And good luck to you. May the luck of the whip around smile on your face, right? Dave, anything to add to the contest chatter, the jibber jabber?
I would just say, you know, please go to iTunes and give us a review for crying out loud. I mean, nothing means more to a podcast than an iTunes review for some reason. It only takes a minute. If we've ever kept you company on a commute, if we've made your life better in any way, just go ahead and give us a review anyway, even if you've already done it. Do it again.
Just get in there, right? Yeah. Well said.
Just jam the stars.
If we've ever
fit with the stars.
If we've ever been
how
there,
how many stars can I fit in this bag? Just shove them in.
If we've ever been there for you, please, just this 10-second, not even 5-second period, be there for us. What is it, Dave? I think it's how many clicks? 3 total. I mean, 3 click, right? It's like podcast, type and whip around, search.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already, if you download the app through the podcast app on the iPhone, it's like already set up there.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
You got this. Yes, you. The one listening right now. You got this. And we can see you. This is getting scary.
Oh, yeah.
All right, April Fool's on that one. I can't see you. But what if? You never know the technology. Okay, so what I would really like to do now is shift this over. I've been waiting for this. We've got the return of a highly popular, highly energizing segment here on the Whip Around. It is one of our founding segments on the show. Dave, everybody wants to know. Maybe no one more than me. Please fill us in. Of what made Dave angry this week?
Disney World Edition.
Disney Edition. Twinkles.
All right, so I have to do a little... I have to do a little setup with this one and explain to people who haven't been to Disney World the transportation situation.
Okay.
Okay? Can I do that for a second?
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time. I don't even know what the deal is.
If you're staying at a Disney World resort like we were, one of the ways to get around is a bus. They send buses complimentary to the hotels that take you to the park and take you back.
Okay.
Okay? And they come about every 20 minutes, right? Okay. So we were at Hollywood Studios, and they have a big Star Wars fireworks show with projections on the Chinese theater to end the night. Okay, so going out of there, there's thousands of people flooding out of the park, all trying to get to their cars and get to these buses.
Okay. Yeah.
So we get in line for the bus, and there's already maybe 30, 40 people in front of us in line for the bus. And it's now taking a long time, and we've been there for over a half an hour already waiting for the bus, which is fine. Like, I get it. Like, shit happens. It's traffic. All the parks are closing.
So it's not that buses have gone through and you haven't gotten your seat, and no bus has come that you need.
Right. So everyone's getting cranky. Kids are sleeping. There's parents holding kids that are like absolutely exhausted. The parents are exhausted. I have a stroller that's like folded up that I'm holding also. So, you know, everyone's getting really miserable. Okay. And I'm about to say some things that it's going to sound like I'm griping against handicapped people, but I am not.
Like, all right.
Please cut through, you know, listen to the whole story, and then you can kind of, you know, get on me about coming down too hard on handicapped people.
So trigger warning.
Right. So here's the process, right? If an ADA guest is in line, they have a special, like an American with disability.
Oh, okay.
Person,
Americans with Disability Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They line up in their own queue, and when the bus comes, you know, people get off the bus, and then the bus driver loads this person on first, right?
Okay.
I'm cool with that. Like, I am totally cool with that.
Sure.
If they're on a scooter, you know, they flip up, they kill three seats, you know, which is fine.
which I love that. Great.
And they park the scooter in. So now here's where I start to have, you know, I get an itchy temper trigger finger here.
All
right. When it's Mr. Walker of the Walker family reunion rolls up. That was a really bad term. So when he shows up, right when the bus arrives with nine family members, they all bypass everyone who's been waiting 40 plus minutes for this bus and pile on.
One disabled individual.
One disabled guest
with nine satellite people.
Yeah, all wearing matching T-shirts, you know, kids, whatever. And they all pile on, and I'm you know, going through Disney World. It is very evident that the United States of America has an obesity problem.
Get the fuck out of here!
No, it's true. speaking as a member of that party, yeah. So everyone piles onto the bus with this group, and now they start letting everyone who's been waiting in line on. And fortunately, you know, my family got on the bus, but there were people who would normally have gotten on the bus that got left out in the cold.
Oh, wait. So now they have to wait for another loop?
Now they have to wait for the next bus, which could be 20 or more minutes before that bus arrives.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you know, even cut past that. Now we're on the bus. My wife, we got one seat that my wife had a sleeping child, you know, with her. Me and my son were standing. I was holding a stroller, and we're packed like sardines on the bus. And I noticed a guy in front of me who had his sleeping daughter in one arm, and he was holding his stroller, and then he was holding onto the, like, the pole on the bus to not fall with the crook of his other arm.
All right.
Now, if you survey the bus, there's just these slobs looking at their cell phones who could just as easily stand up and give this poor bastard their seat.
Not one did.
But, you know, I'm Facebooking or Insta-chat tweeting. It was just like, man, it was just like, I'm looking at this and just thinking, like, God, we suck. Like, as a people, we really suck. Like, somebody needs to get up. And I would feel like dirt knowing that I jumped ahead of all these people who had been waiting. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to occupy a seat while there's women and children and, you know, people holding children standing up.
So now a lot of the people who came on with the Walker family are among these people who are perfectly healthy people that, you know, are just, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Here's my revision, you know, my proposal, what Disney should do about this.
Oh, there's a solution to the problem.
Yeah. You get the one companion, and you get children under the age of 18.
So disabled.
And everyone
person,
else goes to the end of the line.
The disabled plus one.
Right.
Children under, what did you say?
18
children. That's pretty generous. I would have said like children under like 13 or 12.
12. Yeah. But I mean, you can't leave like one 13-year-old out there.
Oh God, sure I can. Oh God. But well, I mean, they'll probably be generous about it. It's the nicest place on earth, or whatever they call
because
it.
Because I'll tell you what, when we get to the destination, they don't help anybody. Like it's
like,
not
it's like
group
get off
effort.
The bus. Like
they just jump off. You know, okay. They just all hop off the bus. Like whatever, we're here.
Okay.
So they're not critical to the transportation process.
Okay.
I mean, am I being too insensitive here, man?
No, and if anything, it's like a sad, it's like a what bummed Dave out this week.
Maybe. Maybe it's kind of like the gorilla in the cage situation. It was like less angry, more sad about our current state. current mood.
Right? Where's the... Here we go.
So then I'm bitching to Kara about it. I'm like, look at this. Like, our society sucks. Like, no one's going to give this guy their seat. And then this, like, poor teenage girl who was sitting next to Kara was like, excuse me, you can have my seat if you want. I can stand up. I'm like, no, I wasn't trying to address
this. She's just like, browbeat. This, none of these sons of bitches, or maybe like this one teenage bitch, won't do anything. Did this happen, or was he like, I'm fine, it's fine? Or were you like, hush up, it's fine, don't...
No, well, the guy who I really felt bad for couldn't hear me. I did talk to him after we got off at our hotel, and I was like, man, you're my hero. I don't know how you stood that whole time holding a sleeping child and a stroller and maintaining your balance on that bus. And he was like, thanks for noticing. Like, it was awful.
I was going to ask what his attitude was, if he was like, this fucking country... And this fucking planet and that fucking teenage girl can all go fuck themselves with Mickey Mouse's ass or whatever.
I mean, you want to make America great again. Why don't you just start being nice to other people? Like, that would be a good first
step. I like the implications. Like, listen to me, all you Trump voting sons of bitches. This is a problem, which, you know, I'm sure there was an even split. A bunch of Bernie types that were probably there. Maybe a Jill Stein wackadoo.
Well,
some Trump,
what,
some Clinton.
It was definitely Chicago's spring break. I saw so many Cubs.
So there are a lot of Clintonistas there who weren't helping.
Sure.
Not cool, man. Not cool. And Dave brought a solution, though. But what a bummer of a Disney disabled, dad abusing, dumb teenage jerk edition.
Why would Dave angry this way?
And it bums me out. But what a relevant thing to say, Dave. What a call to action to be decent to each other. So what we're going to do is take a break and then come back, and Dave and I are going to treat each other like shit.
Yeah.
But we're consenting adults treating one another like shit for the purposes of entertainment. So it's all good. It's all fine. No need to make the whip around great again. We'll be right back with some intellectual use of a crazy fucking story. You'll see.
Who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? If you've wondered all these questions and more, have no fear. We have the answers. Or at least we'll give you our answers. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter at The Whip Around. And if you want more than 280 characters, we'd be happy to send you a response email to your email inquiring further at thewhiparound@gmail.com. Think of it as free, totally unqualified therapy.
I'm ready.
We're back in The Whip Around because enough of the break. It's time for some of the real interesting stuff, because we're going to be talking about some really interesting stuff having to do with fear, okay?
Yeah.
And dealing with and overcoming fear, and as only two guys who are willing to freak each other out can. So let me give you some background here. A strange sort of article popped up this week. Something below the usual nightmarish garbage that you see in headlines these days. But wow, did it ever leap out at me. It felt, I don't know, a little bit like the 90s again. Why? Why, you ask? Check this headline out, Dave. Let me run this one by you. Arizona pilots report sighting of possible UFOs.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
CNN. It was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time, right? I mean, do we believe these guys now? I mean,
that's CNN, and here's a variant from Live Science. Two pilots in different planes saw the same UFO. Next line, the FAA can't explain it. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, see, it's real.
Well, we're taking strides here. Now, within the article, let me probe it a little bit. They both go on to note that it was on February 24th around 3:30 in the afternoon above the Sonoran Desert down in the southwest, lovely part of town, heading west toward California. The first thing a commercial pilot asked, and it's transcribed in these articles, by the way, but the first guy basically said, hey, does anybody know about anything going really fast, basically going the other way, like right past me, way up above, but right past me. And the guy apparently running in the traffic control or whatever was like, oh, UFO. Like it was like, yeah, you just got buzzed by UFO. But anyway, after the joking, a couple minutes later, the air traffic control people told another airliner basically going the same direction, hey, I wish I could have heard this conversation. Watch out for anything unexplained or whatever that might go flying past you, way above you, right, and whatever. I think it was the I can't remember if it was the first or the second guy. I think it was the second one who said, when it happened again, a few minutes later, he noticed it too. He said, quote, I couldn't make it out whether it was a balloon or what, but it had a big reflection on it, and it was several thousand feet above us going in the opposite direction. Okay. Weeks later, even now, as far as I can tell here on Easter Sunday, on April Fool's Day, but I am not joshing you, even today, from what I can tell, the FAA does not have a clear answer about what was up there.
So they're not going weather balloon.
Well, they said, oh, well, it, you know, we're not sure that there is that possibility, but, you know, they haven't said that's what it is. So what they're essentially now, it's what they're not saying, you know. Now, according to the CNN article, reports of UFOs aren't actually all that rare. It's just that most of them are anonymous. The implication was that they're pretty shady or, you know, not quite normal. And because they're anonymous, people are like, I saw whatever, goodbye. But they don't attach their contact information to the report. But this one is odd because if you think about it, the job of air traffic control and the Federal Aviation Administration, they tend to know what's in our airspace. And on this one, when they're like, I don't know. And I don't know about you, Dave. And I mean, I kind of have a suspicion. But I think this is kind of appealing news to most of us, to a lot of us anyway. Even those of us like me who insist that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. We kind of want to believe something. We want excitement. We want the thrill, groundbreaking news. It's all very appealing. But then there's also some fear baked into some of these stories for people. Am I right, Dave? Is there something to that?
Yeah. I mean, if you're afraid of aliens, this is not something you want to hear about. I mean, you know, the term UFO or unidentified flying object isn't an alien, but, you know.
It is leaping kind of, to, we're leaping
that's
to
That's where
aliens.
It goes for me. It goes right to alien.
And I think when something is, like, highly reflective, they said, and moving extremely fast, you know, that does tend to suggest, like, wait, so you don't know that it's a plane? Okay, so what else could be, like, reflective,
yeah, you're the pilot,
metallic, and going plane? Very fast in a control? Sure. Now, just to say it, human brains can sometimes parse information in a way that causes us to maybe see something that's not quite there. Like we can turn shapes that are vaguely face-like into faces. Like there are entire Instagram accounts, you know, all about if you cut a bell pepper in half lengthwise, you can see like a face screaming.
The Virgin Mary.
Or the Virgin Mary showing up in any toast or mold in the shower, pancakes and whatever. Yeah, I'm sure the presidents, each president, I'm sure, has been found in a Cheeto at some point. Right, but we can make ourselves see what we want to see. But really, if you drill down, we do seem far better at seeing what we damn well hope we don't want, see, right? Man. That we don't see, right? Like the jacket on a chair in the bedroom at night, it becomes a motionless stalker, murderer, whatever, that's just waiting for you to fall asleep. The tree branch right outside the window maybe taps the side of the glass. You know, that's a claw inch into the window pane trying to come inside. The shadow of the passing car, you know, it just shows you how many creatures in your yard or whatever. But fear is a powerful motivator, and our brains...
Well, it's funny you should say that, because growing up,
You saw creatures?
If I didn't have my, you know, blinds all the way down or my shades drawn, and I was lying in bed, I would see alien faces looking at me through the window from outside.
Like it was gonna happen.
I don't know how to describe it. Like, I knew they were there. I was just kind of putting the face there, even though there was nothing there. I don't know. To me, shutting the blind so I couldn't imagine it there.
Right, they're gone now.
Stopped it, yeah.
Now, in your childhood, would you get up and close the blinds if they weren't already closed? Or if it's like, look, the alien faces are there, the blinds weren't closed, and the lights are out, I'm stuck here.
I would try to kind of be like, no, they're not there. I'm just going to go to sleep. But most of the time, I wouldn't be able to do it. So I would get up and eventually just close it, like very quickly.
All right. And, I remember having seen, I had this chair, you know, that was like it was like between my bed and the desk in my room. And if there was anything draped over the chair, it'd look up. Something's there. Mine was always, it's a person. Someone's going to come in here and murder me. And then at one point I had a dream where I woke up and there was a person there, and the person looked at me in the dream and was like, I've been here the whole time. Go back to sleep.
Oh my God.
And then in the dream they were like, go back to sleep. I'm coming back and you better be asleep. So then of course, I woke up in real life and I was like, wait, oh no, oh shit, oh God, but there's no one there, but he left. And so I fuck with myself. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about all that, Dave, and with apologies to Jill, that here's the thing. That's our evolution at work, right? That is that kind of ability to pick things out and to recognize patterns is a lot of reason why we're here. Like a caveman who couldn't see any patterns or wouldn't have seen like a face coming through the darkness, well, that cave dweller, that troglodyte, was that much more likely to end up as saber-toothed tiger shit, right? I mean, if you can't see the danger signs from far away or, you know, in the blink of an eye, you're less likely to, you know, have little frightened kids of your own. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so, the fear keeps you alive.
Yeah, and so we pass.
It's there for a reason, brah.
Well, I don't know. It certainly has helped. It's serving a purpose. And so generation after generation, although now it's kind of, I don't know when it entered into the picture, but now we've got these like very specific extreme in this era. I just always picture like Mountain Dew can lightning. Extreme fears that are really pinpoint that don't really seem to have an evolutionary use, right? I mean, there are fears about things that aren't even particularly feasible, and we refer to these as what, Dave?
Phobias.
Right, which is from the Greek phobos. Do you know what that actually means, what that word means, like, if you trace it back to its ancient roots?
Nope.
Basically, it means, like, fucking running away. It means flying. It's like fly.
Oh, no shit.
You gotta run till you fly from these things. So it's a grand way to talk about something you're afraid of. Vampires? Nah, I fucking run. If I could fly, I completely would. If I could run...
phobos that shit.
Right. I phobos my ass into the atmosphere to get away from the number 13. So we here at the Whip Around Fear Laboratory have decided to use the CNN and other articles that touched on this. It was not as big of a news story as I wished it would have been. We're going to use it as a springboard to examine fear and phobias. Our fears, specifically, Dave's and mine, for you, listener. We're going to exploit mine, drag out, smush in each other's faces, our particular fears, and there's reason behind that too, and it's a kind of a therapy, right, Dave? I mean, that's you know, therapists do that. It's
right. What is it, aversion therapy? Is that
There's like aversion, which says like, look, you're going to try to get away from this kind of thing. I think, right? And I found something even more specific. And Psychology Today in 2011 was an article where they talked about insight therapy. If you want to look it up, the guy's last name is a total instant classic, Dr. Noam Spencer. S-H-P-A-N-C-E-R.
Noam
Spencer.
Don't leave him out on anyone's yard. We might steal him.
That's right. He sounds like he's got a pointy red hat. He refers to it as insight therapy. I'm sure he's not alone in that. But the basic idea is that we tend to avoid the things that freak us out. And the more we freaked out by them, the more we tend to avoid them. So it's sort of this cycle of fear. If you're extremely afraid of, let's say, bats, well, you're going to take pains to stay away from bats. Well, what happens, though, since familiarity breeds contempt and boredom, the more you avoid the bats, it stays fresh. That fear is real and all the time. Your example was the boss, right, Dave? If someone, like, hates their boss.
Yeah, they say that if you don't like someone at work, the best way to handle it is to spend as much time with them as humanly possible.
Right, which because, I guess...
Yeah, you kind of start to grow some sort of affinity from being around people.
Not or that you'll at least ever
like bats, but...
At least a callus, right? To be like, you know what, I don't like it, but whatever. Like,
I survived this day.
Yeah, it saps the kind of power from it as we get desensitized to this idea, right? Getting used to or bored with something unplugs its power. Steering clear of it then, leaving it as something that you've never confronted or failed to really deal with, keeps that palm sweaty, heart-hammering response. So, Dave and I want to examine this notion of desensitization. Maybe we can make it work for us, here for you. Maybe we'll conquer some fears tonight. Probably not. It's going to be funny. But maybe we can. So, Dave and I mean,
I've been totally avoiding aliens for a really long time. Like, I haven't encountered any in a really long while. So.
Well, Dave has copped to his particular fear in spades. I think listeners of the show have probably heard about mine from time to time. If not, mine is spiders. So Dave, I guess mine is arachnophobia, obviously. It is. I'm out of sync with the stimulus. I am upset by a spider appearance. And Dave, I think the term is pretty loaded, but it's xenophobia, right? It's this outsiders, it's aliens.
Is that what it's called?
I think there's also like alien phobia, which is so creative. But I think the original terminology was not really from psychologists to talk about xenophobia. It tends to be political now. It refers to people who are like afraid of...
I'm seeing astrophobia.
Astrophobia. I'll take it.
Fear of celestial objects or others surrounding it.
All right. So Dave is astrophobic and I am arachnophobic. And it's been that way for me as long as I can remember. You've heard Dave talk about childhood stuff, so it's been with him for a long time. So we've each prepared, in service of helping one another here at Whip Around Fear Laboratories, we brought a number of audio and visual stimuli based on the other guy's irrational, excessive uncomfortability and fear. And we're going to reveal them to one another. We have not shown each other these things or played them for one another yet. But this has been some undercover... backstabbing therapy, again, for you, dear listener. So we're going to have the other person talk us through what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and then, you know, maybe rate it on a scale of like 1 to 10, 1 being, I think I'm cured. I do not care that there is this thing in this image or this audio, all the way up to 10, which is, I have phobosed into the stars. I have fled the show, leaving a Sean-shaped cartoon hole in the cinder block of my basement. And we'll see if we can get some insight, right? We'll talk this through and see if we're cured. Sound good, Dave?
Yes, let's do this.
Now, I am of the hope that we can do a couple of me first because I am so excited to subject you to some of what I have found. I happen to find astral phobia more novel and interesting than mine, but do you want to go first? Is that cool?
I'll go first. So I'm going to kind of use this first short clip. It's only 37 seconds, and if you could describe what you're seeing for the listeners, it would help. And I'm kind of going to go from there because I don't know what it is about spiders that really freak you out. I don't know if it's the touching of them, the appearance of them, like all the eyes, the hairs, like I don't know, the multitude of them, like I don't know what really bugs
you. Well, you're upsetting me right now, just so you know. I'm already off to a flying start.
So I'm going to start with this one, and if we could just funny that, if you can see that. All right,
we are, I'm, no, there's a spider lowering itself onto a sleeping man's forehead, crawling down the forehead. His mouth is hanging open. We are watching it feel itself around, across, and down the unibrow onto his nose. He is reacting. He's still asleep, but twitching. The spider continues to walk down his face. I can tell you my palms are sweating a little bit, and it's crawling into his mouth, and he closed his mouth. So, all right, that is an agitating thing to see. That is upsetting.
So don't they say you eat, like, so many spiders a year? Is that, like, a real thing?
What the fuck do they know, Dave? No, I don't.
So where's, like, eating a spider fall on your...
First of all, let me say this. I have had that moment where I wake up at night facing, like, you know what I mean? Like, face on my back with my mouth open. And the instant thing that occurs to me is shut your mouth before a spider gets in there. Like, that's an active – that's a weekly thing where I'm like, ah, you know, where the mouth shuts. So way up there, I would – I mean, given the fact that – oh, and we're going to post all of these things – on,
oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, on the website, on the show notes, all that shit, so you can see what we're talking about. But given the fact that, I don't know, it seemed like it was a dual camera thing, then maybe it's not entirely real. I would give it
I doubt that was real.
I give it like a 6 out of 10. The idea is horrible because it's crawling on his face when he's helpless and asleep. So yeah, not good.
Okay.
And I will say, I feel like there's a little bit of, like, sweat. Just a tiny bit. A little bit.
Okay. All right. This one kind of disturbed me. I'm going to give a little background on this one because the video doesn't really show it. This guy had a spider in his house, and he sprayed it with some chemical, like, cleaning agent to kill it.
Good man.
Okay, so this may not be directly a spider video per se, but it definitely like wigged me out a little bit, so I thought it would greatly disturb me. So, okay, here we go.
What the hell? There's something laying there, some twisty, weird... Is that a worm unfurling? Something is creeping and crawling around like what looks to be a dead spider, covered in some kind of chemical solution. What is happening?
Okay, that is a, if I'm saying this right, a myrmophid worm, and that is a parasite that was living inside that gigantic spider,
so
eating its insides.
The spaghetti noodle of a thing was in the spider, I guess probably killing it slowly or something. So when he killed the spider, out comes this nightmare of a worm.
Yeah.
It's kind of grody, Dave, but given that the spider was vanquished...
Okay.
I'm actually like, that's gross, but I'm all right.
Okay.
So, 2 out of 10.
Okay. That helps give me a little bit of direction to go for my next video. Hold on.
Now, I have a strange fear that you're going to be like, bah, and the spiders are going to pour out of my computer somehow. We should do this. All right. We are seeing a bunch of kids looking at a wall. They're patting at it, poking. It looks like there's a big hole in the wall. It's like a cave wall or something. We're getting a good glimpse of this adult male looking into the cave hole now. And like a brilliant guy, he's sticking his hand in. Oh, Jesus God. Lumps, swaths of black. I'm guessing that's a writhing pile of spiders on the ground. Yes, it is. And they are just churning like so much of the worst parts of the earth. As we look back at the hole, and spiders are just frolicking all around it and now all over the wall. A man stuck his hand in that hole and came out just coated in spiders. Well, I think you could hear from my yelp on that one that there was some stress involved. The notion of being surprised by not just a spider, but like an infestation is extremely disturbing to me. I'm going to say that is like an 8 out of 10 video. I'm glad it's over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, the after effect goes away, but, like, my skin is crawling on, like, the back of my neck right now.
All right. Can I do one more? It's very short. It's only 5-second long video.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, there's a girl smiling for the camera with a spider in her mouth that just crawled around her face. So, my ear is itching. Like, I got an itch out of that one. I get itchy. Like, in my, like, now I'm itchy because this stupid prick of a woman put a spider in her mouth and let it crawl across her face. So now I'm actually...
huge, too. That was a pretty...
I would say it was the size of her cheek. Full, like, leg extended. It was the size of an adult woman's... an adult idiot's cheek. Yeah, very disturbing, pale, wan spider out of this stupid person's mouth.
You all right?
I don't feel cured. I know that. I don't like that. I've never seen any of those. That was weird. Usually, you know, you tend to run into those videos. There was one I was trying to show Dave as an example, and he was like, I was considering doing that one. Like, I actually had that video if I needed it queued up. My ear itches. Like,
you're like taking the headset off.
I'm feeling very itchy. So fantastic.
It could be one of those bad boys trapped in there with you. So can I tell you a personal spider story?
Yes. Tell me a spider story.
All right. So
Spider-Man.
Working at Dorney Park and Wildwater Kingdom in the early aughts, okay, as a Berenstain Bear, okay, from time to time, you had the heads were like hung on the wall.
Sure, yeah.
So when you go like to helmets. Put them on, you know, early on, you just take them off the wall and you put them on your head.
Sure.
And then you kind of go out there to greet the kiddos.
Yeah, already I don't like this story already.
Yeah, once you're out there, though, there's nothing you can do. You're out there for the duration.
Yeah, you're not supposed to ever take the head off, right? Like, that's
right.
Kind of a big deal.
But one time of being trapped in there with a spider or two, you learn to check the heads before
I bet you do.
You put them on.
I bet you do. I don't like that story. That's a quit on the spot job. I'd be like, see, and here's the thing. I would not put the head on anymore. And I mean, like, if you were like, dude, there was a spider in the helmet today, or the head, and I'm a different person who wears a different Berenstain Bear head, I'd be like, I don't work here anymore. I really don't. I'm not doing this. Okay. So, Dave, are you willing to take a turn here?
Yes.
Now, I've got eight, and okay, I'm confident in this eight. I'm even saying the number, which is going to make it a bitch of it if I have to edit this. But I am confident it's a solid eight. Let me start fairly simple and fairly easy. And I don't know that I need to give a lot of background for any, but let me start with an audio. Is that cool if I start with an audio thing, Dave?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I just want to know what you think. Dave's already, by the way, as I talk about this, he just furtively looked at the ceiling.
Well, there's noises going on in my house that are kind of freaking me.
All right. Okay. You ready? Go ahead. You'll probably know. And that's fine if you know it. I still want to know what it makes you think and feel.
So that's the alien theme from Close Encounters.
Close Encounters, right? Of the Third Kind. So yeah. What are the thoughts and feelings on that?
I mean, that movie doesn't really wig me out as much as, say, like a movie like Signs did.
Okay.
And maybe it's because it's like an older film. It doesn't carry the same sort of like realism that, you know, a more recent film would have. Mm-hmm. So that audio doesn't really do anything for me. Like, I recognize what it's from. It
all right, good.
Doesn't I'll, really bother.
And I want to set a good baseline on that. You know what I'm
saying? Okay, good. Only seven more to go, so.
Here is an image that's being claimed that if you look comparatively, and again, I'm going to say we're doing ascending difficulty here.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a side-by-side of an alien spaceship in fiction and a sighting. Can we see that?
So the left is the fiction.
So over here is fictional.
Or my left is fictional.
And then there's this. Photograph taken at night of lights in the sky.
I mean, it's just three. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not getting the picture in very high resolution, but it's just three kind of dots floating out there.
Yeah.
That you're not really sure what it what it is.
Okay.
Like, I recognize the other photo to be more of just like, yeah, this is what a kid would draw as a UFO.
Right. Here we've got a nighttime photograph of the sky.
That seems much more real to me. Like, that could be a thing.
Okay. All right. So...
I'm going to say that the UFO itself, seeing a UFO in the air, is not the pinnacle of terror for me when it comes to aliens.
Okay. So let's jump up a level here, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, so what about this guy here?
So is this the alien autopsy?
Yeah, alien autopsy.
Right up top.
Tell me what you're seeing, and then let's
all right,
talk
about
so
it's it. It's an alien being laying on a, like, what looks like an operating table, and someone in like full hazmat gear kind of handling the alien's head, maybe like positioning it for dissection or inspection.
Right.
And it looks pregnant.
It's got a definite
stomach.
Belly.
Yeah. In my mind, this is a thing that possibly has already happened.
Okay. All right.
This alien doesn't scare me as much because it's less... It seems like more human than my pinnacle terror of an alien looks like.
Okay.
Like, I am scared of the classic, like, big-eyed...
A gray, I believe they're called.
Okay, sure.
But, like, as far as, like, a 1 to 10...
I would put something like that, like, 5-ish.
5 out of 10.
Somewhere around there. It does make me feel uneasy. I don't like looking at it. I don't... If it was a video, I would be like, I don't need to see all of this.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Now, can we do... Let me change things up, because I want to test something based on what you've said. Can we do a video clip?
Yeah.
Okay, and then let's just say, and then I have one more video clip up from this later, but not yet.
Okay.
So let's.
No, fuck no, man. I hate this scene. So this is the scene from Signs at the birthday party. It's like the home video, and you just get that. It hasn't happened yet, but you get that glimpse of the alien walking like Bigfoot style through the. The kids are all pouring out the window, looking out. It's about to happen. All right, we're looking down the alleyway now. Yeah. Fuck that, man. I hate that scene so much.
Dave is almost out of frame.
No, I honestly hate that. Like, I like that movie.
It was from Signs.
But that scene, I think, is the most disturbing 3 seconds of film.
Oh, okay.
I've ever seen. I hate that scene. So that's like an 8 for me. I don't like that at all.
Okay. Are you feeling at all? Are you feeling healed of your anxieties about aliens at all yet today?
No, I'm feeling worse. Like, I think I'll have a worse time going to bed tonight than I did last night.
All right.
Looking at spider videos all night.
All right, hold on. So let's shift that a little bit then. And just do a still image, okay?
Okay.
Just a still image. No big whoop. And this is I'll say this, supposed to be taken from the windshield of a car. All right. So we're looking through the windshield of a car. So what are we seeing, Dave?
No. See that? All right. I can kind of intellectualize that is not... All right, so we're looking through the windshield of a car. On the left-hand side of the picture is, like, a full-bodied alien of the classic, you know, a gray, long arms, long legs, tiny body. And that puts me at, like, a 9 because that's what I see looking in my window when I was a child.
Okay, so now I'm abusing Dave.
Yeah, now we're getting to a level that's, you know,
so I don't know
therapy.
I don't know if my final thing is going to be as impactful as I thought based on what you're saying, but we'll see.
And I think the still image makes it even more disturbing because...
We saw this. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, so let me do... In fact, I have two videos for you.
Can I just say something else about this still, and like with that style alien?
Yeah.
The concept of Slender Man also really freaks me out.
Which makes sense. Which makes sense. There's this mysterious unknown, usually blurry, long-limbed, unusual-looking thing. That's sort of like, there's almost a reveal. Like, you have to look for it, but when you see it, it's like, ah! Okay, all right.
Yeah, and both are interested in abducting you, you know, so.
Okay, the audio stinks on this, so we'll just, you know, again, I'll shut this off and just give you the image. Are you familiar with Skinny Bob? Skinny Bob.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
All right. Let's show Dave. Skinny Bob.
Okay. It's just kind of looks like a surveillance video of an alien. It's like a black and white grainy video of like an alien with like a gigantic head. Okay. Now we're looking at like kind of a pan up of a tilt up of his full body with. Yeah, I don't like this. This is not, I'm feeling very uncomfortable with this. What is the audio?
It's just this like chattery. Bah, 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 bah. I think it's supposed to sound like an 8mm or whatever camera.
Okay,
but it sounds bad because.
Are we sure that that's not real?
I'm highly confident that it's fake. And what I'm confident happened, and listeners can check out Skinny Bob, just YouTube Skinny Bob. It's relatively famous among are there really aliens? It looks like something that was sort of done with computer animation and then made to look old, right? It's sort of retroactively made to look like, oh, this was back in whenever. Most of the videos about him have like a little thing was, oh, back in 1950, whatever. And finally we got the footage released or whatever.
Yeah, that definitely freaks me out. That's really high on the list. Although I would be more afraid of that if it was not in like we didn't have him in captivity.
So if it was again in the wild for some reason, or
right, or someone's yard,
in someone's yard,
something like that. Yeah.
All right. So let me do. I have one more image. How are we feeling? Is it coming down with familiarity, or is it just continuing to spike?
It's continuing to spike.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to go let the dog out after this, and I have like a full. You know, glass slider with no blinds on it or anything, and I'm not gonna like looking out of that.
Okay. Well, again, we here at Whip Around Fear Laboratories appreciate your candor. So I have one more still image and then a video, and we'll treat the video a little bit differently. Okay.
Okay.
A little bit differently than the rest. So here is a still image. Again, make sure you tell us what you're seeing, perspective, all that stuff. Along with your thoughts and feelings about it.
Yeah, so this is looks like a night vision maybe sort of photo of looking at two aliens through some foliage. They are of the type that I do not like. They're possibly talking about abducting someone.
there aren't word bubbles or anything, but okay, yeah.
That's really super freaky to me. Kind of the not high quality photo,
right?
You know, in someone maybe they took that through their window,
right?
I definitely don't like that.
Okay.
At all.
Scale of 1 to 10 agitation.
It's like an 8 or a 9. It's tie.
So far, the psychology.
I don't see how any of this is going to make me be like, yeah, I don't. I'm not disturbed by aliens anymore.
Okay. All right. So to date, Dr. Spencer, not accurate.
I don't know if this is really what he was trying to get at. Like, if I was hanging out with an alien and I got to know one, maybe I would be like, oh, you're not so scary anymore. Just don't know that that's possible.
Okay. Well, may I suggest we test that idea with the help of my final video clip.
Let's
test this notion about hanging out with aliens a little bit.
May as well.
And then here's what I want to do. I want to play this clip, Dave, and I want you to give me your numerical level of strain, discomfort, whatever. And be honest, and when it hits 10, we stop the clip. Right, so if it starts up and you don't know what's going on, it'd be like, I don't know, a 1, and you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Until if you're like, this is bullshit, turn it off, I'm not watching this, okay?
Okay. You think it's going to get to that?
I don't know, but are you ready?
Yeah. Let's see it.
All right, here we go.
All right, I'm not... Okay, what... All right. Oh, this is... what is this? Fuck, what movie is this? This is Fire in the Sky. Fire in the Sky.
We're watching...
So the aliens have this guy on the table. They're... I don't know, he's being held down by some sort of
rubber or something?
Rubber sheet, maybe. And they're going to poke the hole in his mouth, hopefully.
Oh, so Dave's... So okay. What's the number level here?
I might have seen... what the fuck? All right. I don't know. I'm at like an 8 right now.
They're exposing his eye through the cover.
Oh, yeah, they do the eye, right?
And then they're going
to
open the mouth.
Yeah.
A little mouth hole there.
Yeah, and the aliens, they don't have those big eyes, though.
No, they look grumpy. They've sealed his mouth shut.
Putting some sort of tube down his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all this bad stuff definitely happens when you get abducted by
right.
aliens.
This is supposed to be what happens.
Doing all the experiments and stuff. Yeah, I mean it's very high anxiety. And all right, now the eye stuff, because I have like a thing with the eye. I'll keep going for now, but
okay, they're putting some
putting some sort of secretion onto his eye to. Mm-hmm. I don't know what
we're
the
looking
point
through
of this
his
is.
Eye now up at the figures. And something's coming down from the ceiling.
Some sort of device that, you know, is going to be really awful and painful.
Could be a tickler machine. I don't know.
I doubt it. And it's getting closer to his... I've seen... Now it's just... Like, I don't know.
We are moving into his terrified face. His tubes are connected. Dave again is leaving the frame.
Like a needle is coming out, like a very fine needle that's going to go into his eye.
What's the number here, Dave?
We're like in the 9 territory.
Dave, you made it. You made it to the end of the clip. As the needle approached the eye, the video clip mercifully lets us go.
Yeah, I'm sorry that wasn't the best narration, but I was highly disturbed by that.
Dave's hand was at his forehead. Dave, how would you describe your physiology right now? How are you physically and mentally?
I would say I've elevated heart rate right now. My palms are a little sweaty. I think I mentioned in a previous podcast when I watched, an episode of... Lore on transorbital lobotomy. So this came kind of close to that, but like now you add aliens into it, it makes it even more difficult for me to consume that. I don't know. I think I will have difficulty getting a good night's sleep tonight.
Okay, now
based on the things that I've seen, and none of this makes me more comfortable with aliens. Like, okay. Nothing that we've seen there has suggested that any of my ideas about aliens were incorrect.
So the doctor has failed us. We don't appear to have helped one another overcome our fears here today. What a disappointment. Dave remains mostly out of frame. I have been surreptitiously scratching parts of my body, trying to make sure there aren't spiders on them. I don't know, Dave. What do you think it would take, then? Let's say that grays aren't real. What would it take to get the anxiety about them over, since you can't actually hang out with them? Is it possible for you to see enough to where the anxiety isn't there anymore?
I don't think so.
It's hopeless.
I don't walk around with a paralyzing fear. I just don't. I don't.
Dave's
like...
eyes are closed for the listeners, by the way.
I don't like the look disturbs me. The idea, the whole concept of abduction scares me. I'm just disturbed by the whole thing. There's no way around. And the I think the main problem with this is that this idea is used as a device in TV and film to evoke fear and unease. No one's doing like pro alien. Pro gray documentaries,
Alf. Since Alf, I guess.
Yeah, but like that, any alternate style of alien doesn't bother me. You know, okay. I don't watch Star Wars and go, "Oh my god, there's all these aliens!" That I can't handle.
Shit.
So
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what to do. I nothing can be done. I just get those types of TV and movies will have the desired effect on me.
And do you believe that these things are real? Gun to your head, you know, like, do you believe they're real?
Yeah, I mean, like, I believe there's alien life outside.
But I mean, these big-eyed, you know, the grays. Recognizing that fear isn't...
No, probably not.
Fear isn't dependent on it, but...
I would say no. No, they're probably not real.
So you got that going for you. Spiders are real, and I don't know though.
They're definitely real. And, you know, we both record in a basement, Sean, so your basement is spider-free?
I am sure it's not. I've seen enough to know they're here, and I hate them. But not you, listener. I love you. We're curious, too. What are your phobias? Have you ever overcome a phobia? Has there been some way that you've done immersion or aversion or, you know, any kind of therapy? Maybe it was something like what we did here today where you just encountered it and just got yourself in there and got bored with that fear eventually, or the subject of that fear. Let us know. Again, thewhiparound@gmail.com. Dave and I, having freaked ourselves and each other out, are going to take a minute. I'm going to maybe take some kind of Silkwood shower and kill anything that is near me. Dave is going to not walk his dog just yet, I'm guessing. And we will be back with Act 3, including 3 for the Road.
Mm-hmm.
Back in a sec.
Hey there. Still stuck in traffic? Going to the bathroom, perhaps? Don't worry. We're coming right back. Make sure you flush and wash your hands, especially if you're in traffic.
Yeah.
Hello, listener. We are back. That means Dave is back, and I am back, and this automaton is back. Aren't you back? You're back, aren't you? All right, it's back. What are you scared of, automaton?
Is Desi getting a little jealous over there?
Yeah. Suddenly, this is like way beyond some kind of morning zoo radio. Hey, everybody! Can't get the fucking... Anyway, it is time for 3 for the Road. That time, and we get to talk about that stuff that we didn't have time to talk about during the show, we're too scared out of our wits to bring up during the show, or in some other way just needed this opportunity to talk about something that was off track. Each person, and that is just the two of us this time, has 30 seconds to say whatever it is that's on their mind 3 times through. Now, after that 30 seconds is up, we will hear something like this. Thank you, Desi. And that means it is on to the next person. You're done! And then we do that 3 times apiece, and then that's the show. That's it. The end. End of story. I'll remind you about subscribing and rating and reviewing the show and emailing us and sharing your feelings and shit. But otherwise, that's really it. Okay? Dave, you want to go first?
Sure, man.
Okay, Dave. On your mark. Get set. Go!
Okay, back in 2012, I was working at Borgata in Atlantic City, and one Phil Ivey came into our establishment and won $10 million at a baccarat table. Well, it turns out that he was cheating because there was a defect in the cards, and Borgata sued him for $10 million. It actually screwed us out of our annual bonuses that year because we didn't make revenue, so fuck you, Phil Ivey. But they won that $10 million lawsuit, but they also sued Gemico, the company that makes the cards, for another $10 million. The judge found they only owe them $27, though, because you can't double dip.
All right, that's fucked up. Hey, I'd like to say that Roseanne is a very sick, very ill-managed person, all right? If her show is well-crewed, well-acted, and well-supported by a professional system, that's great, and I'm glad that other people are employed. But she is a flavor-aid drinking conspiracy theorist, everybody, who pushes unfounded rumors like Trump is freeing slave kids that the Democrats have in some kind of Temple of Doom work camp, and lizard people run the government. She's not bringing people together. She's another arrogant white dirtbag allowed to be hatefully nuts because that shit works for a big part of America's population. Don't be part of the problem. Fuck her.
Hey, it's springtime. So I've been noticing ants around a lot lately. Mm. Big shout out to Taro and the Taro Company. If you have ants anywhere outside, inside your house, get these Taro traps. They're amazing. You'll put them out, and hours later, thousands of ants are crawling in there to bring the poison back to the queen and kill the entire colony. So if you want to get rid of ants, buy some Taro.
Is that a .com? Can we do a .com? www.taro.com. A lot of people wonder and argue about the origins of Easter, but less publicized is the issue of why we dye eggs and where the hell that comes from. And dude, it's nuts. Some legends are like, oh, Mary Magdalene brought eggs to the tomb, and when they rolled the stone away, oh, the eggs were all red. And others were like, oh, Jesus' mom brought eggs to the crucifixion and his blood fell on lunch. Bingo bango, red eggs. And other people look to the same explanation of dying symbol, or like the sane explanation of dying symbols of fertility to make them look fun. But who knows? Maybe we dye eggs because the magic Jesus blood falling all over the eggs that they probably ate anyway.
While we're on the subject of Easter, taking religion out of it for a second, just looking at Easter as the holiday, I gotta say it's my least favorite holiday. I'm not a big fan of the food. I'm not a big fan of candy. I'm not a big fan of giving my kids lots of candy, particularly gummy candy like jelly beans. It's gross. I feel uncomfortable in the Easter clothes.
Preach.
It's just not a great holiday for me. I put it 7th out of 7.
What's the number one?
Christmas is king, man.
All right. I want to say this on a serious tip, I guess. It can feel lonely and awful in the world sometimes, but I want to point out a study that was done, link in the notes, at Stanford University that shows that 74% of bullying on Reddit comes from 1% of the communities there. Now, consider that Reddit is sort of a, you know, the frontier of the internet, no man's land of online communities. And most of the shit that gets started there, and there's supposedly a lot, is started by 1% of the people. Extrapolate that to the culture. Most people are all right. The hate is loud, but it's coming from fewer people than you're picturing. Whoever it is that you're seeing people being evil about, there are fewer of them than us, way fewer than you think. Don't give up.
Hell yeah.
Wow. What an uplifting, wonderful, Easter-hating 3 for the road. Congratulations, Dave, on a wonderful 3 for the road, on a wonderful episode. Let's just remind everybody, hey, remember, those contests, you've got the ability to rate us and Sex and Violence and get yourself entered to possibly win that amazing poster from the Warriors by Tyler Martis. And you can answer any of Ward's 5 trivia questions about the Bethlehem House Art Gallery anytime between now and Sunday the 15th. As far as the poster, you've got until Monday, April 9th, all right? Poster, April 9th, radar shows. The gift cards, $25. You've got until April 15th, Sunday, April 15th, at midnight. You can also send in a question for Ward and maybe win yourself a pint glass if you got interesting art questions, okay? Anything else, of course, don't forget to reach out to us, thewhiparound@gmail.com, on Facebook and Twitter, and we're on Instagram. It's all fun and games until somebody is attacked by gray aliens or spiders. I'm just saying. So watch out for the UFOs out there. Any last thoughts, Dave?
That's the most disturbing we've ever done it.
All right. So until then, we love you.
Goodbye.
Bye. And then you ready for the finale?
Yeah, let's do it. All right.